Let us pray. Lord, as we just sang, prepare my heart, Lord Jesus, turn not from me aside, and help me to receive you this blessed Adventide. We ask that as we seek to once again discover the heart of Christmas, we in that also discover your heart as you come to us at Christmas and promise to come again in the future. Bless the hearing and sharing of your word as it's done in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're at December 3rd, which means how many days till Christmas? 22, right? 25 minus 3 is 22. Days till Christmas, and maybe as you hear that number, 3 weeks till Christmas, maybe there's a portion of the group this morning that says, I can't wait. And another group that says, oh my goodness, is Christmas that close already? So I ask in your heart this morning, perhaps there's a mixture of thoughts when you think of Christmas coming up. And so as you kind of reflect on your heart and your mind this morning, what are the thoughts, the emotions that run through your mind as you think about Christmas being here in 3 weeks? I wish I had a little bubble above each of your heads so that I could see what it is. Maybe you can text me. But perhaps if I would try and read your minds a little bit, perhaps some of the common things that run through our minds this time of year are the planning for the different gatherings that are coming up or that you're hosting. Perhaps it's the gift buying and trying to determine what gift for what person, doing it in such a time that I can have it shipped or get there in time for Christmas. Perhaps it's things at work that need to be done before the year end. Perhaps it's vacations that you're trying to plan. And all these things, getting your house ready for Christmas, the decorating. And perhaps there are times where you just say, forget it. And perhaps there are times you maybe relate with Scrooge and just say, bah, humbug. You know, Christmas can bring a lot of different emotions and a lot of different thoughts that run through our minds that admittedly can distract us from what Christmas is all about. And instead of when we sing joy to the world, perhaps you're thinking in your heart there's just a lot of stress around Christmas time and the expectations of Christmas and the things I have to do to prepare for Christmas and the people I have to spend time with, and all these things perhaps create more stress in our hearts than great anticipation or great joy. I found on a website, randombustle.com, 10 reasons Christmas is the most stressful time of the year despite all that cheer. That was the name of the article, which I found intriguing. So here's the 10 they listed. You can make your own 10 reasons why Christmas can be a stressful time of year. One, it makes you broke. Two, you never know if you're buying the right gift. Number three, the holiday office party, or I put in parentheses on my list, the church Christmas party. Figuring out, number four, how to finish all the year-end projects or semester exams. Number five, three words, seeing your family. Number six, the intense question and answers by that family of what's been going on in your life. In this list, number seven was potential to run into an ex or a family member you don't get along with. Number eight, you remember you have to make New Year's resolutions. Number nine, you have to muster enthusiasm for New Year's Eve. And number 10, you know the merriment will be over far too soon. So if they reflect some of the things that would be on your list, it was interesting, I look at this list, and just kind of thinking about what is at the heart of the things we stress about at Christmas time. I'm just going to share the reflections that go through my mind. And as I look at that list, it makes you broke. You don't know if you're buying the right gift. The holiday office party, spending time with family, the questions, the answers, etc. All these things, getting the year-end projects, the things at work, the things at school, all those things, I'm going to boil it down to one thing. And that's being accepted. Being accepted. So just think about that for a moment. When you think about buying gifts, perhaps there's a few that genuinely love giving gifts and they don't stress about it. But I would say that for many, buying a gift for someone is about how they will respond to you when they receive that gift. Will that strengthen that relationship or will it cause strain? Or what makes buying that gift difficult? If that person you know you have to give a gift to, but you know that relationship isn't quite where you're giving it with a lot of joy, that can create stress as well. Or spending time with family. Perhaps part of that stress is because you want everybody to get along and you know that not everybody in your family does get along. And at Christmas time, you hate being alone, but you don't feel quite accepted by your family. And you really want to be. And inside, you really want a relationship that doesn't exist, but you dream about the people that you care about most caring about you the most. Spending time at the office party or even our church family, that sort of thing, interacting with those individuals, perhaps in the workplace a little stronger than the church place, but it can be at both. Why might that type of setting create stress? Is because you want to fit in. You want to be accepted by your office mates, and perhaps you know that you don't get along with everybody, and not everybody gets along with you, and you know you have to show up and make an appearance, but it's not your favorite thing to do. Or as you think about seeing your family, those family members you don't necessarily get along with, or even as you think about completing your year of school or your year-end work projects, is there not part of that to be accepted by your teachers or by your boss or even by your parents who have an expectation of what grades get on the report card? So acceptance is a word that came to mind as I reflected on some of these stressors that come up at Christmas. And do we do these things to feel accepted? And it wouldn't be unusual. The psychologist Maslow, you may have heard of the hierarchy of needs, and the first two at the bottom are physical needs of nourishment and security. But the first emotional need that is in that pyramid of needs is the need of belongingness, of being accepted, of being part of someone's life in a meaningful way, to know someone loves you, to know someone cares about you. So at a time at Christmas when all those things perhaps are heightened, it makes sense that one of the things that can stress us out is the feeling of, or the lack of feeling, accepted. As we think about this time of Advent and leading up to the celebration of Christmas, perhaps that as we look at all the things that may create stress in our days and our weeks leading up to Christmas, or even if our life is relatively stress-free leading up to Christmas, it's good to once again get at the heart of things and understand from our Lord himself what this season is all about and to understand his heart. And I'd like to understand his heart, except especially in regard to this thought of acceptance. And to do that, on your notes or in your Bible, I'd like to point out a few passages from Isaiah chapter 63. When we look at relationships and the strain and the desire to be accepted, inside each one of us is a desire to be accepted by God himself. It what leads us whether we are of a Lutheran faith or we are of a different faith, especially the natural tendency of a human being is to do things to get right with God and to in some way feel like they're accepted by God. And whatever religious system they have developed, it will involve some activity on part of the individual to be right with God. Isaiah chapter 63 is a section in Isaiah. Isaiah points out all the reasons that God's people had to praise the Lord for his great works and all the things that he's done for the people. Going all the way back to Moses and the deliverance they had from Egypt, all these things that were listed out. In all these things that God had done for them, in verse 10 it says, "Yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit, so he turned and became their enemy, and he fought against them." And then in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, it says, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags, and all shrivel up like a leaf, and the wind, and like the wind our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins." That's the worst thing. When you are talking with someone, you're in a crowd of people, and they turn their face away from you, you know there's something wrong and that they're not accepting what you're saying or accepting you as a person, whatever is going on in their heart. And in this situation, God is saying through Isaiah, because of your deeds, they are not in line with my will. I have hidden my face from you. And not to perhaps throw another stressor on our leading up to Christmas, but the greatest relationship strain at Christmas and at all time really is our relationship with God if we're left on our own to work out that relationship. If we're left on our own to do what is right and to do what is good and to somehow earn God's acceptance, Isaiah points out, even though all the good things that God does, even the things that we think are righteous, are tainted with sin. And if the scripture would leave the thought there, we might as well cancel the Christmas celebration, because there's really no hope or no joy in that, because our relationship is not one of being accepted based on our activity. But fortunately, the words in Isaiah don't end there. If you turn to the backside of your notes, Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8 and 9. So even though this is the status that the activity of God's people was falling short of what God desired, in verse 8 it says, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever or look upon us. O look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people." Did you see in those there are three phrases that stand out to me that talk about our relationship to our Heavenly Father? You are our Father, we are the clay, you are the potter, we are all your people. And elsewhere in Scripture, and the reason that we celebrate Christmas is because we know even Isaiah prophesied that God would send one that would restore the relationship that we could not fix on our own and accept us even when we were unacceptable. And Isaiah reminds us the relationship that we have by God's grace is God is our Father, and he takes us as the clay and he molds us into who he wants us to be, and we are his people. And reminds us that, number one, you are accepted and loved despite your sins. You see, it's so natural because of our human nature to try and earn God's acceptance, and he says, it's not going to work. Rather, I want you to understand that I have accepted you. I have loved you. I have cared about you. I have done everything to take that sin that creates that barrier and remove it. And what we anticipate celebrating in the manger of Bethlehem is the fulfillment of God's promise to do just that. To do what we could not do for ourselves so that we are accepted by our Heavenly Father and loved by him because our sins are forgiven. Perhaps think of it this way. If there's a relationship in your life that you feel is strained because of something you did. And you show up at that family gathering, and that person that with whom you think your relationship is strained comes up to you, gives you the biggest hug that you've ever received, and says, "I'm so glad to see you." And they express their love and their kindness, and they show you that they love you and they accept you, even though perhaps in reality you don't deserve their love and acceptance. What a wonderful feeling that is, to know you are accepted even though your works don't deserve that acceptance. And that's what God, in such a heightened measure, has done for each one of us, has accepted us despite our sin, because he sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to take care of what we could not do on our own. And this is the heart of God at Christmas. And it's where we find acceptance. Because if we look for it in our human relationships, if we look for it in our work relationships, there's always going to be someone or something that's disappointing. There's always going to be someone that no matter how hard we try, we can never measure up, and they will always find some fault in us. And at Christmas, where God wants each of us to find true and complete acceptance, is not in a family member, not in a boss, not in a teacher, not even in a fellow church member, but in him and him alone. So that when we realize that we are accepted and loved by the one who matters most in our life, by our Heavenly Father, it also helps us to love and accept the people around us at Christmas time. That's point number two. You can accept and love others despite their faults. Now, I'm not talking about agreeing if there's sin going on, but when I have experienced the love and acceptance of my Heavenly Father, and I know I have not earned or deserved that, I can show up in a different place. And even as I'm buying gifts, as I'm looking forward to those family gatherings, even if there are people, perhaps in one sense, I'd rather not buy a gift for, and there are people that I'd rather not spend time with, I can show up in a better place because I know I can freely show the love and the acceptance that God has shown to me. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, "We love because he first loved us." And Romans 15, verse 7, "Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." What a wonderful thing if you're the person who shows up at that gathering and you express love and kindness to a person who you've had a strained relationship with, or it's someone that perhaps hasn't been the greatest working relationship, or whatever it is, and you can show up into that space knowing you are fully accepted, fully forgiven, fully loved by your Heavenly Father, and that heart is at work in your heart to show love and acceptance to someone that honestly perhaps doesn't deserve it. But because God has shown it to you, you can show it to them. And so when you think of all the things that perhaps are leading to stress on this Christmas season, rediscovering the heart of God, that you know at this Christmas season, it's not about you, but it's about what God has done for you. And that you know that your biggest relationship in life has already been taken care of in the life, death, and resurrection of that little baby born in the manger of Bethlehem. And so when you go about your activities and finishing those work projects, you can do it with a sense of doing your best to the glory of God. And you know that perhaps as you give your best, if it's not accepted as such, you still know you are accepted by your Heavenly Father. If the Christmas dinner doesn't turn out just the way you planned, or the travel plans don't go the way, it's okay. God still loves you. He's still your Father. He's still molding you like a potter molds clay. And he says, "You're my own, you're my people. You are dearly loved." And he wants you to experience his heart at the heart of Christmas. And that heart tells you you're accepted and you're loved. And that's what God wants you to find and you to know and to you experience this Christmas. Amen.